Yeah, the raising and lowering of a bridge. And Bobby sees a lot of boats going by every day. And next over is Bobby's wife, Jean Smith. And Jean is her profession is making nets. And she makes a variety of types of nets, different sizes, different uses. In a moment, I'll ask her to describe some of those types of nets for you. Sitting next to me is my friend Coaster Bougier from Apalachicola. Coaster is a retired commercial fisherman. He's done a lot of shrimping in the Gulf, oystering, grouper and snapper fishing, gone after other species too. He's seen a lot of the history of 20th century commercial fishing here in Florida. And all these people represent years of knowledge and experience in net making and other aspects of commercial fishing here in Florida. Now, Coaster, you may have seen, is making this long shrimp trawl net here, this white netting that you can see strung up between a couple of trees in the middle of the demonstration area over here. Okay, well, I'd like to start by asking Gene to tell us about how you learned to make nets. When did that all start for you?
When I was about 15 or 16 years old, I used to watch my ex-brother-in-law now mend nets. I would hold the webbing for him to mend them, and I would help him stretch the ropes up. And I didn't know what he was doing, but I'd get out there and help him, you know, and he would hang nets, and I would hang a little bit. So then, in later years, then I started to picking it up and just going with it. And the longer you do it, the more experience you have. And I've been doing this regular now for about 21 years.
Oh, yeah. Now, Bobby, how did you learn about making nets?
Well, I quit school when I was about 16. And I started fishing, and I learned it on a fishing boat. And just kept picking it up, learning it as I go.
What type of fishing was that you were doing?
A commercial fishing boat. It's what they call a seine fishing, the hard way back then. You had to put a pull belt around you and pull the net by hand, which was about anywhere from 8 to 12 men divided up on each end of the net that strike it out, each man on each end of the net, you know, so many men on each end of the net. And pulled a net in.
Was that
a fish?
Was that a type of shore or beach fishing? Or
it's called a pocket net.
Uh-huh.
Beach seine, what we call it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that was the hard way.
Sounds it.
Now they got what they call purse seines now at our home, and they got it by winch, and they operate it by winch.
Is that a type of beach fishing, too?
Yeah. About the same way.
Uh-huh.
But it can be operated in 80 foot of water or 30 foot of water, or ever what they want to strike in.
Mm-hmm. Now, Coaster, could you tell us how you got started making nets?
Well, I guess it run in my family. My daddy done it. My granddaddy done it. My great granddaddy in the old country done it. And I guess it just passed down generation to generation.
Now, is it important that a fisherman knows how to make nets or mend nets?
I think so. These modern boat captains don't, because by the time they have a tow-up trawl, they carry it to the shop and throw it in the shop and get it fixed. It costs $300 or $400. But I always figured that $300 or $400 in my pocket was better than that other man's. I fixed my own.
Now, when you were a young fella, maybe looking for work on a shrimp vessel, would it help you to get hired on if you knew anything about nets?
Yeah, you couldn't get a job if you couldn't patch. They wouldn't hire you. Then they had a cotton net, you know, and the least little thing would tear a cotton net up. And you had to know how to patch. They wouldn't hire you. They'd even make you patch a hole before they would hire you.
It's sort of a test, you mean?
Yes, sir. They wouldn't take your word for it. Most of them old captains wouldn't.
Now, would that be true today if I wanted to get a job?
No, times has changed. There's all kind of people in the fishery, mostly transits, you know, people that travel around, and they'll travel from one town to the other. They don't know nothing about nets. All they go for is a deckhand's job, and they pick the shrimp out and ice the shrimp. When it comes to the gear, well, that goes to the shop.
Now, how many years did you fish before you got into making nets like you do now?
Well, I started. My daddy used to carry me. I was about 9 years old in the summer months. And then I was 14. I quit school. And I was captain when I was 14. I've been about 40-something years. Mm-hmm. I'm 63 now. I retired when I was 62. Sold now, my rig.
Now, do you have a big shop downtown in Apalachicola, or what's like that you work at?
I got my shop in my backyard. Well, I don't have very far to go. It's right out the back door.
Yeah? No, I've been to your shop, and I know what it looks like, but probably these people haven't. Could you tell us what it looks like?
Well, it's just an open shed about a 50 foot long and 25 foot wide where I do all my net making out of the weather, you know, out of the wind and the rain.
What kind of equipment and materials do you keep in there?
I keep webbing, rope, combination cable. Combination cable is rope with wire in it, like a steel cable. Keep that, chain, leads, corks, twine, whatever it takes to fix a net. I got it.
Now, I was mentioning a moment ago to these folks that you make shrimp trawl nets. Is there just one type of net that you make?
Oh, no. There must be 8 or 10 different types. No two men use the same type trawl. Some use flat nets, which is a real old net, been in use for all since it started shrimping. Then they got 4-seam nets that come from Carolina. And they got 2-seam nets, and they got cutouts. They got what they call Western jib nets, which come from Texas. All different types and styles.
Did you bring that book with you this morning? Is that around?
Did I bring it? Did I have it? I thought I brought it with me. I must have left it.
Well, that's okay.
Thought I had it.
Could you tell us? Now, Coaster has a notebook, which is with him over where he's been working. He'd be happy to show it to you later on, I'm sure, but could you tell us what's in that notebook?
It's got the patterns for all the nets I built for different people. If a man comes up and wants a certain style net, well, I'll put the pattern in that book where I'll know it's his, write his name on it. If ever wants it worked on again, I know just what to do to it to fix it.
How many patterns you figure you've got?
Oh, I got 3 or 4 notebooks full.
So maybe 150 or so.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
All the customers, you know, have got their patterns in that book.
Mm-hmm. So it really is custom work then?
Oh, yes, custom. Yes. Most of them fellas working in net shops, they learn a style of net making in that shop that hasn't changed. They use the same old patterns. We got one fella there at home, he uses the same patterns, but he hadn't changed with the times. I have because I worked on a boat, and I knew what had to be changed, the improvements that should be made,
mm-hmm.
and I done it.
Well, when you've made a net for a fisherman, and he takes it out, takes it away from you, you're not fishing with him.
No.
How do you know if that's a good net or not? It fishes well.
He'll call me and tell me. If it's bad, you believe I hear from him. If it's good, he'll call me and tell me it works fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're funny. You build one of Eddie Lord or 65-foot net, if it's 66 foot, he won't say a word, but if it's 1 inch less than 65 feet, he raise hell.
He wants to get his money's
worth.
Yeah,
he wants his money's worth.
Yeah. Now, Gene, could you tell us a little bit about your work area where you make nets?
Yes, sir. Sometime I'm on the dock. Sometime I'm in the boat. Sometime I'm out in a field. Wherever they put it, that's where I go to it at. And I have to make the best of the situation. If it's a rip or a tear in the boat, sometimes, and they're going to go right back fishing, I have to get right on the boat, right in that pile of net and fix it.
So you're sort of on call to fishermen then, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah. What's it like inside the shop that you work? How would you describe that?
Well, I'm just in the fish house, not in a shop, just in a big old open building, and I go in there and I stretch my net up and I hang it. I've hung up to 850 yards in a building, and it's in the fish house. And sometimes I'm right out in a big old open field, and I put posts up, and we hang from post to post. Right wherever they tell me to go, that's where I go.
Okay. Now, here at the festival, you're demonstrating the making of cast nets.
Yes, sir.
But I believe you make other types of nets too, is that right?
Yes, sir. I make any kind of net. I don't care. I can make the gill net, trammel net, purse seine, beach seine, just any kind that anybody wants.
Mm-hmm. Does everyone understand what all those types of nets are about? Yeah? I don't. Okay. What is a trammel net?
A trammel net, you have three walls of net. You have a smaller on the inside and then the large mesh on the outside. You have three pieces of webbing. You have the cork line and the lead line. When the fish go through, the big brails, they go in and trammel. And you got
trammel means to get caught up in something?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a word that I didn't know before.
Yeah. Yes, sir. He really does.
Now, is that the type of net that Mr. Moore is making over there in the corner, or is he making something else?
No, he's making a gill net.
A gill net, okay. Uh-huh. Well, what is a gill net?
A gill net is a net that you just strike out around a bunch of fish, and they stick their heads in and gill, and then you pick it up and pick the fish out.
So it's called a gill net because they get caught by the gills?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what's a beach seine? I think that's what Bobby was talking about.
Okay.
Is that right?
A beach seine is, I don't know too awful much about it. I know how to build it, but yeah. I don't know exactly how they fish it. I know that they do it by boat now, and the fish go into a pocket. Is that right?
Right.
And then they bring this up around the back of the boat, and they go in there and they dip them out and put them in the boat.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same with the purse seine. They purse it up into a big circle and bring them into the pocket. Then they take and other words, the bunt.
Mm-hmm.
They bunt them up into the bunt. Then they take the balers and bail the fish on board, sometimes 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 pounds.
That big? Now, how big are those nets?
Well, the largest one I made fishes about 156 foot of water, 850 yards long.
And you made that yourself?
Yes, sir. Me and a crew of Vietnamese.
Uh-huh. Amazing. Any other types of nets that you work on?
Oh, I don't know what I named. Any kind. I don't care. Even his shrimp net.
Yep.
But okay. I'm not saying anything about his shrimp net because that's his thing here today.
All right. I'd like maybe Bobby could hold up that cast net, and Gene, maybe you could tell us what the different parts are called.
Okay. He has the hand line in his hand, and he's going to put his hand through the end of this net, the hand line. That'll keep him from losing it when he throws it in deep water. And then from here down to the bottom is the body of his net. The chain fastens up the bag which holds the fish. The fish go inside this bag, and then you work it in, you pull it up. You got your fish in this bag, and then you just shake and dump them out.
Anyone here ever used a cast net before? Okay, one person, two, three, four, okay. Would the rest of you like to see how a cast net is tossed? Because there's quite a lot of traditional skill involved in that. Now, Bobby, if you do the honors, maybe over here would be a good spot.
Let me get it ready.
Okay.
I'll explain to you about the purse seine because I used to pogey fish. I know all about purse seine.
Okay. Costa will tell you what a purse seine is while Bobby's getting ready for that.
A purse seine is a net, and it means exactly what it says, purse, like a woman's purse that draws the string in the top and closes it up. Well, on the bottom line, it's got what you call ring bites and bull rings, big brass rings, about 3 inches in diameter. You got a line. You used to use Italian hemp. I think now they use nylon, a polydact. Runs through them rings. And them rings is hanging on a rope about that far down under the net. That's where we pogey fish. And when you pogey fishing, you use half of that seine in one boat and half in the other. The mate's in one boat, and the captain's in the other boat. And they set these rings on a steel rod in the captain's boat. When they strike the strain out, the boats open up like this. And they go around, and they come across. And they butt them bow to bow. Then they got a 500-pound lead weight they drop overboard. And they start pursing. They got what they call a gypsy head in each boat that they fill that line with. And while the men is making up the seine, then they use manpower. Now they use hydraulic blocks. Mm-hmm. He's making up the seine. They pull in the purse line, which draws the bottom of the seine together just like a woman's pocketbook. Closes it up. then the fish can't get out, see? And they raise them up between the boats. Then the big boat comes up, and they throw line to the big boat, and they get the bow of the two purse boats right up against the side of the boat. Now they use pumps. They pump the fish out the seine. But when I fished in the old days, we bailed with a bail net.
They bailed.
We had a net that was, but must have held about 2,000 pounds. Had a pole on it, and the pilot usually done the bailing. He'd run that big bail net down in the bun of that seine and fill it full. In the bottom, he had rings around it with a chain in it, and he held it tight. The winch man picked it up, and it come over to hold the boat. You let the chain go slack, and the fish just went in the hole. Now, they use a pump, a big pump. It pumps the fish out of the seine. The fish come up this chute and hit a scream. They go in the hole of the boat, and the water goes overboard down the chute. And the hole of that boat's refrigerated, and it keeps them cold. You know, they stay out several days, they get a load. But Peru has about put them out of business for the fish meal. They're shutting down every day. I got a cousin that. A pogey boat captain, that's why I know that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that very clear description. I can see it all happening in my mind, the way the net circles around the fish, and then you close
just
it up.
Just like a woman's purse, it closes around the top.
Okay.
The weights on our boat are anywhere from 1,500 to...
Now, Bobby, you pretty well set to throw that net? Okay. You notice what he's doing with his mouth there? The chain goes. Okay. Grabbing it on with his right hand. And the object is going to be to throw as perfect a circle as possible so it drops down over the largest area. Here we go. Yes.
And spread it, Kate.
All right. Now it's,
He's done it perfect just about every time. Yeah. I don't know if you don't get up there. It's
and that's not easy to do either. Takes practice. Now watch, the chains are going to collect at the bottom. Those effectively closing the bag, okay? Similar to the purse that Costa was talking about. And all the fish that were encircled will stay in the bag. All right, see how the weights come together like that? And block the escape. Okay, Bobby, if you had some fish in there, then what would you do to get rid of them?
They don't use purse boats.
Yeah? Okay. Want to see that one more time? Okay, can you give us another shot?
I can't throw a net. I throw my net, and one end's high, and the fish see the shadow from the net and run from it. I can't throw it flat like you.
Oh, I used to take and lay the chain over my shoulder.
This is a cast net for those that have just joined us. This is Bobby Smith from Port St. Joe is going to show us one way, and there are different kinds of ways of holding and tossing these nets.
You know Wayne White, don't you?
Well, that name sounds
familiar.
Yeah,
the highest law enforcement agency. The state something.
Here we go. Yes, another nice one. Okay.
And he come to the house one day, and he wanted Mr. Smith, Bobby's daddy, to learn him how to throw a horse.
Yeah.
So he was throwing it, you know, and about that time Wayne stepped out there, and he caught, and Mr. Smith just threw the net right there.
Come on back and join us, Bobby. I got a couple of questions for you. Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How long before you was born?
About three times before you was born.
Okay. Can you tell us what material this is? And
nylon webbing, twine, and you cut your board out the size mash you want to make. Here, this is the mash here. And you start off, you have to start off making, ever have about 20 mashes, I think I got on this one. Then you come back and you put widenings in it here to make your net spread. and they got a wideness that to be about every other one right under each other, like this right here. This here's a widening, and here's a widening.
We're going to make that.
And keep them straight down.
Make it today, and we're going to make it about this long.
You make it all the way down, then you hang them.
You know, and give it to Nancy.
You get down to the bag, you make your webbing straight, then you don't put no widening. About that four, then you double it back and make your bag. That makes your bag at the bottom like this new net over here.
They don't have no nets in the new net.
They got an old one.
Now, how is this net different from this one over here?
That's the webbing on that one's made by machine. This here's the old way they had to make them back in the olden days.
Now, does anyone still make them this way?
No. Yeah, over in foreign countries and other places. But it's a lot harder to make it this way than it is that way.
I think we can all appreciate that fact, that every knot has to be hand-tied here, and every mash, that a mash is one of these squares, with a knot on every four of the four corners, has to be measured with this mesh board, or mash board, as it's called, and made in that way. And he has to keep track of all of this, and the spacings, and the shape as it develops into that large circle. Okay. Take a seat now, Bob. I want to talk to you about throwing that net. We've just got a couple. Well, let me ask if anyone in the audience has a question. Yeah, I think we got some questions here for you. Here's one right here. Cost-wise?
Around $100 a piece with this type net here. Maybe a little cheaper on the nylon net. Ain't quite as much expense, but it's about same much work.
Now you're
shrimping. Yeah. Okay. If I made that net there, but handmade, it would cost more, see. But we usually normally get the webbing and cut them out, see.
Coaster, how about the costs of some of the nets you make?
That net I'm building out there will cost between $700 to $800 completed.
And what's the size of that net going to be?
It's going to be 65 feet across the mouth. That means it'll be opening up 65 feet. We'll cover 65-foot area.
How long
but
will
now
it?
Now, it won't spread that much because the doors on each end of the wing is going to be holding it. You lose almost a third of the actual width of the net, see, because it'll be in sort of a half circle like. But the Siamese net, see, will have a what we call a torpedo in the center. It's a piece of pipe full of concrete. It'll weigh 200 or 300 pounds. It holds the middle of it down. Then we got another cable that splices into that cable that holds the cork line up. So it, what it actually is two nets in one.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes.
You talked about you've made a lot of changes in your designs for the nets. Why were
there
so many? Why the changes?
Well, I always watch the efficiency. If I on my boat, if I was fishing two rigs, you know, one on each side, I put a board down the center of the deck between the hatch combing and the stern, and I'd separate the drags, and I'd watch which net outperformed the other one. The one performed the best, that's the one I used, and I kept, you know, adding to it to make it do better. So that's why I settled on one style of net. I used it. For fishing four rigs, I use four 32-foot flat nets. Texas-style corner pieces in the top, which, well, I remember one drag, I made a 60-basket drag of shrimp with them four nets. That's about 4,000 pounds.
60 baskets?
Yeah. Yeah, 60 baskets. It weighs out about 4,000 pounds.
Okay, we're Gene.
This lady was asking
shrimp when I dumped them.
This lady was asking the price of the nets, you know?
Yeah.
The most expensive net that I made was for Marshall Mills at Fort Pierce, Florida, cost in the area of $80,000.
What kind of net was that?
That was a purse seine.
Wow.
That's one that is now on the Fisherman's Pride in Fort St. Joe, Florida.
That's some net. Okay, I'm afraid we're out of time here. It seems to me we've just gotten into quite a fascinating discussion of traditional net making and Pat's question about design makes us think about the different influences on net makers. A lot of them, like Coaster, have been fishermen and traveled along our coast and seen other fishermen using maybe variations of basic designs. and ideas about nets if they're proven to be successful. If a shrimper is getting a lot of shrimp, and that's obvious when he comes into to port, then pretty soon people are going to start asking questions about, well, what kind of gear is he using? And maybe if he's doing so well, I should figure out how his net is put together and do that myself. So successful ideas are very rapidly transmitted in that way. Okay, well, I'd like to thank Bobby Smith and Gene Smith and Coaster Bougier for joining us this morning. And can we have a nice round of applause for them? And they're going to be returning to their work. This is a good opportunity or sometime during the day to chat with them about what they're actually doing and to ask some more questions. Coming up in just about 3 minutes, another workshop on storytelling, and Glenn Philman and Ray Singleton, and maybe Coaster too, if you'd like to stick around for that. We'll be talking about stories they know about, they've heard, and maybe some stories that they've made up as well. So stick around for that in about, just 2 or 3 minutes.